I'd like to read a verse in John chapter 2. The Gospel according to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. We're going to read verse 5. The last recorded words of the Lord's mother. Verse 5. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I'd like to read a second reading in the book of 2 Samuel. 2nd book of Samuel, chapter 15. Second Samuel 15. And we're going to read verse 15. And the king's servant said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. The Lord has promised to bless to us the reading from his good word. We all know that there are two sides to a coin. Used to say in Scotland, heads I win and tails you lose. There's two sides to a coin. What we're going to do tonight, very simply, we're going to look at the two sides of the coin. And the first side says this, whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. And of course, the second side of the coin says this, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. Now we've read tonight seven words. Listen tonight to them. Whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. I'm convinced of this. In those seven words, there is the secret to any life. Whether it be single life, whether it be married life, whether it be family life, whether it be business life, whether it be assembly life, the secret to any life is found in those seven words. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now what I'm going to do tonight very quickly, I'm going to go through John's Gospel and we're going to think about five chapters in the Gospel according to John. And we're going to labour three of those five chapters. What I'm going to speak on tonight simply is this. I'm going to speak about our part, and I'm going to speak about his part. And I want to make it very clear at the outset of this meeting, if miracles are going to be wrought, if need is going to be met, If disciples are going to believe in the Lord Jesus, if the Son of God is going to be magnified and glorified, if God is going to be glorified, we'll have to do our part. The Lord Jesus Christ will do his part. Now, two things very quickly. That's an Old Testament principle, and that's a New Testament doctrine. And I'll prove that tonight from the Bible. You remember 2 Samuel, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, is it? Listen to it. If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and confess their sin and turn from their wicked way, that's our part. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land. And I could go through the Old Testament tonight. And I could show you the children of Israel doing their part. And I can see God doing his part. Remember Malachi. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me now. That's our part. And see if I will not open the windows of heaven and I will pour you out a blessing. Now when I read John's Gospel, I discover this. In John's Gospel, there is a need. For example, go through the Gospel very quickly. In John chapter 2, there's the need for wine at the wedding. In John chapter 6, there's the need for bread for the multitude. In John chapter 9, there's a blind man and he's needing his sight. In John chapter 11, there's a dead man and he needs life. And in John chapter 21, the question is asked, children, have ye any meat? And the answer given was, no. So remember, in John's Gospel, there is a need. And I want to make it very clear this evening. If that need is going to be met, you and I will have to do our part. Remember, the Lord Jesus will do his part. Now let's go through the Gospel and notice two things. What's our part? I come to John chapter 2, I read a verse like this. Fill the water pots with water. I read a verse like this. Bear unto the governor of the feast. That's our part. Come to John chapter 6. Make the men sit down. Gather up the fragments that nothing be lost. That's our part. John chapter 9. What's the part the blind man has to do? Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. That's our part. Come to John chapter 11. Roll away the stone. Loose him and let him go. That's our part. Come to John chapter 21. Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find That's our part. But go through the gospel. What is his part? John chapter 2. He's to turn the water into wine. John chapter 6. He's to feed the multitude with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. John chapter 9. He's to give the man his sight. John chapter 11. He's to give Lazarus life. And in John's Gospel chapter 21, he's to fill the net with fishes. I want to make it very clear tonight. The Lord will not do for us what we can do for ourselves. But the Lord Jesus will do for us what you and I cannot do for ourselves. I'm thinking tonight mainly of 3 chapters in John's Gospel. I'm thinking of John chapter 2. I'm thinking of John chapter 11, and I'm thinking of John chapter 21. Now remember my verse, whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. Now for example, get the picture. It's a wedding. We're told where the wedding was, Cana of Galilee. Secondly, we're told who's at the wedding. The Lord's mother was there. The Lord's disciple was there. And the Lord was there himself. Let me say 2 things very quickly. The Lord was needed at the wedding in John chapter 2. The Lord was needed at the funeral in John chapter 11. But what I want to emphasize tonight is this. What was the outcome in John chapter 2? By the servants doing their part and by the Lord Jesus doing his part. What was the outcome? Now just think of it for a moment. The Lord is going to ask us to do simple things in life. Right? Nothing difficult about what he says to the servants. Fill the water pots with water. Nothing difficult about that. A simple thing. Bear out unto the governor of the feast. Nothing difficult. Nothing hard. A simple thing to do. When I come to John chapter 2, I discover this. There's a miracle wrought. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. A miracle was wrought. Secondly, the Son of God was glorified. Thirdly, the disciples believed.
on him.
Let me stop for one moment. Did those disciples not believe in him before he performed this miracle? And the answer is yes. But you mark my words. After this miracle was wrought, I believe, those disciples would have a greater trust and a greater confidence and a greater dependence upon the Lord Jesus. And then, of course, fourthly, the need was met. So remember, a miracle was wrought. Remember, the disciples believed on him. Remember, the Son of God was glorified. And remember, the need of the wedding was met because those disciples obeyed the simple things that came from the lips of the Savior. Whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. But let's come very quickly to John 11. Not only does the Lord say simple things, we might think the Lord would say strange things. Listen to what the Lord said to Martha, to Mary. Roll away the stone. Listen tonight to the words of Martha. Lord, by this time he stinketh. I believe those words were strange in the ears of Martha. But what was the words of the Lord Jesus? Listen tonight to it. Whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. And notice four things. Whatsoever, that's variety. He saith, that's authority. Unto you, that's individuality. You do it, that's responsibility. And whether it be the straight, the simple things of John chapter 2, or whether it be the strange things of John chapter 11, I leave my verse with you. Whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. Get the picture in your mind. Through them rolling away the stone, and through loosing Lazarus from his grave clothes, what was the outcome? First of all, God was glorified. Listen tonight to my verse. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. God was glorified. Secondly, those two sisters were comforted. Thirdly, Lazarus received life. And then fourthly, I read that Jews believed on him. And I leave the verse with you. Whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. Come to my third point now very quickly. John 21. I might disagree with my good brethren, but that's nothing new. I believe John chapter 21 is a backsliding scene. What makes me think it's a backsliding scene is this. It was night. Peter was naked. You read about nets, and you read about nothing. So it's night. Peter's naked. You read about nets, and it's nothing. And remember, it's only seven. Not 10, not 11, but 7. Who's the 7? There are 3 that are well known. Peter, James, and John. There are 2 that are less known. Thomas and Nathaniel. And there are 2 that are unknown. It says 2 others. And whether it be disciples that are well known, or disciples that are less known, or disciples that are unknown, I believe they are marked by failure. Cast the net on the right side of the ship. Fishermen told my brother one day. Fishermen never does that. If you cast the net on the right side of the ship, the net will be all tangled up. You don't do that. And that must have startled those fishermen. But listen to my verse. Whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. And that's the secret, that's the success of every life. Question might be asked, what was the result? Listen to it. This was the third time the Lord manifested himself to the disciples. Now think of the 3 times. He manifested himself to the disciples when there were 10 disciples. Thomas was absent. He manifested himself to 11 disciples. Thomas was present. He manifested himself to the 7 disciples. 3 questions. How did he manifest himself to the 11? How did he manifest himself to the 10? And how did he manifest himself to the 7? You remember the question Judas asked in John 14? Not Iscariot. Listen to the question. How wilt thou manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How does he do it in John chapter 20 with the 10? He does it by wounds. Showed them his hands. Showed them his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. I'll do it by wounds. How does he do it in John 20 when Thomas is there? He does it by words. Reach hither thy finger. Reach hither thy hand. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. But you know, when I come to John chapter 21, doesn't do it by wounds as the 10. Doesn't do it by words as the 11. But he does it by works as seen in the 7. For in John 21, I read these words. When John saw the multitude of fishes, John said, it is the Lord. Now, two things very quickly about the Lord in John's Gospel. When the Lord works in John's Gospel, I notice quantity and I notice quality. When the Lord works in John's Gospel, I notice quantity and I notice quality. But secondly, when the Lord works in John's Gospel, I notice sufficiency and I notice surplus. So there's quantity and quality, and there's sufficiency and there's surplus. Think of those two things very quickly. Fill the water pots with water. I read somewhere that that was 120 gallons. So that's quantity. But listen to what I read. Thou hast kept the best wine until now. That's quality. So remember, when Christ works, there is quantity. And when Christ works, there is quality. Come to John chapter 21. I read about 153 fishes. That's quantity. But I also read that they were great fishes. That's quality. So remember, when the Lord works, there is quantity. And when the Lord works, there is quality. But come to John chapter 6. When the Lord works, there is sufficiency. Remember what you read in John 6. You read a phrase like this. as much as they would. And no matter their appetite, as much as they would, that's sufficiency. But remember, they gathered up the fragments, 12 baskets full, that is surplus. So when the Lord works, there is quantity, there is quality. When the Lord works, there is sufficiency, and there is surplus. And I leave the verse with you. Whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. But very quickly. Never forget who Christ is. And never forget who you and I are. For example, Christ is the head. You and I are the members. Christ is the vine. You and I are the branches. Christ is the master. You and I are the servants. Christ is the king. And you and I are the subjects. If I read my Bible correctly, I discover this. I'm thinking about the Lord now. I read about Lord and Saviour. I read about Lord and Christ. I read about Lord and Master. I read about Lord and God. And I've read tonight about Lord and King. So you've got the picture. Would I be right in saying this? Correct me if I'm wrong. Only Peter in his epistle, the second epistle, speaks about Lord and Saviour. Puts the two of them together, Lord and Saviour. Does it in chapter 1. He does it in chapter 2. And he does it in chapter 3. Listen to the verse in chapter 3. We've to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. He's Lord and Saviour. But you know, I come to Acts chapter 2, and he's Lord and Christ. God has made the same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's Lord and Christ. When I come to John 13, I read a verse like this. Ye call me Master and Lord, for ye say, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, has washed your feet, ye ought to wash one another's feet. He's Lord and Master. He's Lord and God. You remember the words of Thomas in John chapter 20? My Lord and my God. And let me apply my verse tonight. Listen to it. Thy servants are ready to do Whatsoever my Lord the King shall appoint. He's Lord and King. Go through those statements, I get this. Lord and Saviour, I appreciate him. Lord and Christ, I adore him. Lord and Master, I obey him. Lord and God, I worship him. And Lord and King, I crown him. Christian was dying. He was breathing his last. And he tried to say something. And only one word would come out, and the word was this: bring. So they thought the man wanted a drink. They brought him a glass of water. But the man just shook his head. He didn't want water. They brought him a pillow. They thought if they raised his head, put him on a pillow, that's what he wanted. But the man shook his head. He didn't want a pillow. And then, just as he breathed his last, listen to his words: bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. And don't let us wait to our deathbed until we crown him Lord of all. For remember, if he's not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all.